At this point, it's getting hard to keep up. If you thought that last Sunday, with Palm Sunday and Passion reading combined, where we rejoice with Jesus' triumphal entry and then shout crucify him at the same service was confusing, Maundy Thursday has made even more thrown at you. Let me list them. There's a Passover story from the Old Testament. There is the institution of the Holy Eucharist from our epistle reading. There will be the stripping of the altar at the end of the service, symbolizing the stripping of Christ at his death. There will be, in a few moments, the foot washing, which itself can alternately be seen as a rite of purification, a commissioning ceremony, or a sacrament. And I've not even gotten to the name Maundy Thursday, which comes to us from the Latin word for commandment, as Jesus says in our gospel reading, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. All of this is a tremendous amount to accomplish in one service, right here at the end. What do we do with it all? How do we make sense of it? One thing that all these readings and liturgical acts conveys is the fact that the meaning of Christ's life and death cannot be reduced to one thing. Neither can the Eucharist, nor the Passover meal, nor Scripture itself. There's just too much here, too much going on. At seminary, there was a liturgics professor who said that churches would call him from time to time and ask for ideas about what to do for adult forums or adult education. And he would reply, sensing that they would want something new and different. He would say, just do a series on the Eucharist. Make it really long and thorough. When you're done with that, do one on baptism. And when you're done with that, go back and do one on the Eucharist again. Rinse and repeat. His point was that there will always be enough material, much delight, much difficulty, and much treasure in our tradition. So if we are overwhelmed by all of this coming at us, there's also the realization of the great gifts of our received faith. But with that comes the realization that that life of faith, our discipleship journey, is complicated, difficult, and multifaceted in meaning. And all that confusion and disorientation is okay, because if you are overwhelmed and trying to keep your head above water, that's okay, the disciples were too. In some way, that's the point of all these liturgies. It's to assault the well-defended walls of our minds, to reach our hearts and our bodies. And as Jesus says to his disciples, it's okay, you do not know what I'm doing, you'll understand it later. But you know all this. You are here on Maundy Thursday and are willing to go into the darkness of the garden, willing to look for Jesus there in the shadows and the pain, knowing full well that we will all fall asleep at some time, somewhere along the way. The uniting image for me through all these readings and rituals that we do on Maundy Thursday is just this sense of intimacy, vulnerability, and nakedness. Think about how at the beginning of John's Gospel, Jesus takes off his divine clothes and puts on human ones, where the Word became flesh. He gets dirty all throughout his ministry, and then here at the end, he strips down even further to perform the task of a slave. And tomorrow, of course, his vulnerability and nakedness will reach its depth as Jesus is whipped and stripped of everything. That sequence of clothing, nakedness, reclothing actually runs throughout all of Scripture. All the way back in Genesis, we read that as they were exiting the garden, God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. The whole rest of the Bible then becomes how God is trying to restore his creation to himself, to clothe us in his glory, for which he created for us in the first place. A good visual example of this is the image that the church sent out as a postcard in the mail for the services this Holy Week. A rendering of this icon also appears in our shepherd's staff and our bulletin, on the front cover of our Easter bulletins. The image shows the resurrected Jesus in splendid white, having been reclothed in brilliant garments, smashing the gates of hell and rescuing Adam and Eve. It's impossible not to notice that Eve in a brilliant red, now reclothed for the resurrection. If you think about it, our Lenten journey began with a similar sequence of vulnerability, nakedness, intimacy, and reclothing. Ash Wednesday, that intimate moment of receiving ashes, acknowledging our mortality and our flaws by getting dirty, and by saying in some way that this is who I am. Tonight, we get even more vulnerable by washing our feet. In the story, the disciples thought there were one thing. They thought they were to wear the uniform of Jesus' prized lieutenants. The foot washing instead revealed another level of relationship. It stripped the facade of that clothing and then outfitted the disciples in another, one that joined them in love and friendship with Jesus. We strive for that sense of recognition with one another tonight, that sense of intimacy, friendship, and love. One scholar calls foot washing the ritual key to discipleship. He says that without deep intimacy among its members, any would-be faith community is destined to fail during hard times. Foot washing, then, is the ritual that begins and strengthens the process of conspiring to be the church. Conspiring to be the church. I love that line. Our faith journey can be hard and complex. It can be awkwardly intimate and vulnerable. But I invite you to join in this important step of that journey. For the foot washing, there will be three stations, one at the center and one at either side. You will come up and first have your own feet washed, and then you'll wash another person's. In this way, we are modeling God's love for us, and that we first receive it, and then we're able to share it. I invite you now, then, to join in this ritual of deep intimacy, in this process of conspiring to be the church. Amen. Amen.